What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Instead of empowering bureaucrats, we're firing them, and they're going out and getting jobs in the private sector for two and three times what they were making in government. So they started off hating me when we fired them, and now they love me.
That was President Trump in Davos, Switzerland yesterday, talking about firing federal government workers during his first year in office. Now, one group of people hit hard by those layoffs is black women, apparently. While the country's overall unemployment rate fell to 4.4% in the most recent jobs report, it rose to 7.3% when it came to black women.
All right. It's been a while. So I still don't have a job. And I'm not gonna lie to y'all, it's a little stressful now. Cause you know, like when the savings account get a little low, you like, okay now, we need something quick. So I'm still, you know, looking. I have made it to a few final rounds, but you know, sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. And it's just, it's a tough economy, honestly. So I hope everyone else who has been looking have either found something or are getting interviews. But at this point, it's time to make something else shake. So, I don't know. I don't know what to do, but we're going to figure it out. I don't know. I'm very creative, so we're going to make something work. But I hope y'all are having better luck than I am. But, you know, we all in this together.
Jerika Duncan spoke with two women who have faced prolonged unemployment to find out what's behind this trend.
I loved my job. I loved it. And it made a difference to people.
But Adrian Birch's job with the Department of Agriculture was eliminated last February.
I started crying. I said, oh, my God, I'm losing my job. I'm not prepared. I don't have enough savings.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Nikki. Oh, my God, he's going to be right in here. As an unemployed person for like 8 months, there are certain things y'all that are employed need to stop fucking asking us. Did you get a job yet? How did that interview go? How do you plan on paying your bills? I don't fucking know. I don't know. I am a month behind on my rent. They're trying to like do all these tactics to like threaten me. Like, be cognizant of this. I have a master's degree. I'm a pharmaceutical sales rep. I like senior pharmaceutical sales rep. So I should not have a problem getting a fucking job today. But I am. I am. It is what it is. So stop fucking asking us or say go get a job. Listen, I applied for wait table jobs, which I did. Couldn't get those. So stop fucking asking us that shit. Please. Okay? It is demoralizing as it is. That we, you know, for me, I'm sure you guys saw, I flew to Texas like 2 weeks ago and didn't even get the motherfucking job, okay? It is depressing. It's, you know, you feel like a loser. There's so many things that go along with it. And the state that I live, they don't offer no programs. Listen, you just go poor. You just do, like, they ain't gonna offer me rent assistance. Like, I live in New Hampshire. Hello. Like, come on.
As Elon Musk took a chainsaw to the federal government, Birch says she felt forced into early retirement at age 54. Today, she says she gets one-third of her previous pay.
To get to a point where you made a great salary, made six figures, and to have that ripped from you, and not because you didn't do the job well, is painful.
Part one of how I became unemployed with no notice from my employer. I worked for a childcare company in New Jersey. and it had been in business for a long time, like over 50 years. Some background to me with this company. I actually went to this daycare when I was a baby. And yeah, so that's my history with this place. They're near and dear to my heart because of me being there so long as a child. But as an adult, this is a different story.
Pain that was just beginning as Birch started looking for work.
I've applied for, I think, about 35 jobs or so. Mm-hmm. I've gotten 5 rejections. Most of the other ones, nothing.
Any interviews?
No.
And she's not alone. 41-year-old Audrey Malone lost her corporate job in facilities management about a year ago.
I stopped counting my job applications after I hit like 150 or something like that.
You've applied to over 150 for 150
jobs? Oh, I've applied
jobs.
To more than 150 jobs. I just stopped counting at 150.
A year ago today, I was laid off as editor-in-chief of Modern Luxuries Edition magazine, which makes today officially 1 year that I've been unemployed. But because the year is almost ending, I wanted to share 5 reflections that I've gathered over the past year. No longer taking advice. Listen, it's been a year. I have a year's full of advice. I do not need any more. Loss of creativity. I would be lying if I said I haven't lost steam until this point. I have felt so uninspired in terms of writing. I'm a journalist. Guilt of not doing enough. Constantly, I'm questioning, like, should I be doing more? Should I be sending more applications? Should I be networking more? With imposter syndrome and comparison, I know I shouldn't feel that way, but we are human. And sometimes I do compare myself to other peers, just, you know, seeing them thrive. And I question, like, my next step.
And you look at it and you go, I'm not enough. What's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong?
Some economists say the proliferation of artificial intelligence and the elimination of DEI programs have negatively impacted Black women. And then there's the cuts to government jobs, where Black women are represented at twice the rate as in the private sector. All of it has contributed to the more than 300,000 Black women who lost or left their jobs in the first half of 2025.
We almost are like the economic shock absorbers of what's coming to us.
The canary in the coal mine.
That's right.
Harvard economist Anna Gifty Opoku-Adjiman.
And here's a job hack for this economy. Check white. On that questionnaire, which was white. It's been too many studies that then came back and said people start changing their demographics and they start checking white and they start getting callbacks and interviews and everything else. Test it out. Let's all be some scientists. Use this hypothesis. The hypothesis is if I check white, I might get a call back. Test it out. See what you come up with.
Why should people, not just Black women, care about this?
If 7% of your body wasn't working, you wouldn't be able to function. If Black women are not able to be full economic participants in our economy shrinks.
Last month, Representative Ayanna Pressley and more than 20 other members of Congress demanded that the Department of Labor take immediate action to address the rising unemployment crisis among Black women.
This is an urgent problem.
Ryan Wilson is co-founder and CEO of The Gathering Spot, a private networking group. He's been organizing events in L.A., Atlanta, and D.C. to help connect Black women with opportunities.
We have heard already that there are people that are moving through the hiring process that wouldn't have.
So here I am sitting at my deep freezer with my laptop, back to looking for jobs. I don't even know who to apply to anymore because it's so hard trying to find a 9-to-5 because that's the only schedule I have available. 9-to-5. Like, oh my God, 2026, please bring on some opportunities.
But thousands more are still looking.
We're not looking for handouts, but we're like, hey, somebody do something. Speak up for us. And until then, we have to help each other.
After nearly 8 years of working remotely, yesterday I got called into the dreaded reduction in workforce Zoom call. And while it absolutely sucks to be unemployed, at the start of a new year, I'm looking at it as an opportunity, a chance to revisit some of the gifts and talents that maybe I haven't used in a while. Perhaps I could go back to being a cleaning lady. That was cool. Or maybe reviewing Kylie lip kits since we're all claiming that it's 2016 again. Yeah, nah. I could go back to my amateur stand-up comic career.
Instead of old wives' tales, I grew up on old Negroes' tales. Provide a man a pair of shoes because he can walk out of your life. No. Fucked up shit to tell a 12-year-old. Look at the Father's Day gift.
Or maybe I could see if Pizza Hut is hiring. Maybe I could continue my mom content. Or tap into some other kind of content. Just kidding. Or am I? But seriously, I'm going to do my best to stay positive and remain faithful and continue to trust God because I know that He has something greater in store for me. Signed, your newly unemployed bestie.
That was Sharika Duncan reporting. And to put this in perspective, Gail and Nate, about 69% of black mothers are breadwinners. And Sharika told me something that stood out to her, which was that the economist she talked to who wrote that book says that our economic fates are linked. In other words, the broader population of the United States. What happens to black women or any marginalized group is a sign of things to come, because this is something that we knew when I worked on Wall Street. It's an early warning system for the broader economy that when the workers that are most exposed to inequality or who are destabilized, when they are hit hard by what's happening in our economy, the ripple effects will affect everybody at some point. So Wall Street looks at that number and they pinpoint what's happening to people who are marginalized to make a prediction of what could happen to the rest of us.
I like the analogy that was made in the piece that if over 7% of your body wasn't working, you would not be able to function.
Yeah, that's right.
Think of black women as economic shock absorbers. That's very enlightening, that piece.
Yeah, it really was.
Black women are excelling. They're getting accelerated degrees, graduate degrees, doctorate degrees. They're starting businesses. Black women are running circles around men.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! Oh. Ah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And you're rocking out live with us here on Philly Fridays on Fet Life Station at FetLifeStation.com. And if you are happen to catch us, you know, if you happen to log into a podcast network, you can catch us on the True Stories Podcast Network. That's the True Stories Podcast Network. So, and you already know, you just can't leave. We're locking the doors and we're making sure nobody gets outside. All right. And one of the things that we talked about last week, I told y'all we'd be doing a continuation of a part two to the program for last week when we talked about the nuclear winter, right? The nuclear winter. Right, we told y'all that it was going to be one of those things because, you know, a lot of ladies have hedged their bets, followed a lot of forward thinking. And, you know, men, brothers, and I, you know, what I'm really doing is preaching to the choir today. Because a lot of you guys, a lot of you brothers have, you brothers have stepped away from a lot of the things that are going on right now. A lot of you brothers are taking the time to invest in yourselves. A lot of you brothers are seeking peace, peace of mind, peace, you know, peace of heart, peace and in terms of like not dealing with chaos. You know, the whole notion of these concepts that are outdated. This whole notion of courting and the way that it's designed nowadays, it's not going to work out, you know. And along with that, you know, you've heard the whole thing where the ladies feel as though they didn't need us. And what's starting to happen is they're starting to say that what happens when you're not covered by a man. See, Uncle Sam was their man for a long time. And it's not just with the welfare state. I know people think that. No. As you heard, one of the ladies that was in that clip, she was talking about she had a few of them. They had government jobs. And I know a lot of sisters who work in the government sector, members of the sisterhood who work in the government, who or formerly worked in the government sector. And whether it was state government, local government, or federal government, they housed them some positions. I remember, you know, being invited to a party down in on the suburbs of Washington, D.C., right in the DMV area. And, you know, a black woman, she owned this house, all right? And it was a nice party. It was okay. It was okay. And in addition to being there, and, you know, she had a business where she was mixing creams and things of that nature in her sink. And then, you know, she would bottle them up and sell them. She started tried to push that. But she was a government worker. And most of the people that was there were government workers. And they had a nice little, I won't call it village, but it was a nice community. They had their own pond. Like, you literally can walk around the pond. And they would go 2-3 o'clock in the morning. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. It was just out there just walking, carefree. You know, it was actually nice. But now are you in a position to afford that now? And see, I'm not even really taking digs or taking any type of enjoyment out of what I'm reporting right now, because not only is this the nuclear winter, it's also, this is going to be like an ice age, like the new ice age. Like, the world for a lot of single women is about the world is about to freeze over. And, you know, it's unfortunate. They've taken a lot of bad advice. And, you know, it's like this, right? And I want y'all to check this out. I want y'all to check this clip out real quick. Because I think this brother was talking to a lady, and he made a lot of sense here. So hold tight. All right, I want y'all to check this out real quick. Oh, damn it. I keep doing this. I don't know why I always, you know, me and technology just be fronting. All right, here we go.
We don't got to wait to be cheated on to be heartbroken. I'm heartbroken the moment you was talking about me in a certain way to your friend to diminish my character. I'm heartbroken the moment you paint me out to the kids to be a certain way because you mad. I'm heartbroken the moment that you show me you don't got my back because I could be trying to do something and you ain't even being supportive in a certain way. Like, the heartbreak for a man start based on a lack of loyalty and a lack of respect. So if a woman is disrespecting us and we want to remove ourselves, that's when we checking out of it, because it's like, I'm not about to go back and forth and disrespect you. We thrive off respect and loyalty. So it's like, when we see our women do things that appear to be disloyal, they don't understand loyalty the way we understand loyalty. They are loyal to how they feel in a moment. And their loyalty, in most cases, is to the end result that best serves them. Whereas though we make sacrifices as men, when you're a good dude, genuine dude, that don't always often benefit us the most.
So that's one. Hold on, hold tight, because there's more. There's always more, right? There's always more. And we got stuff Now check out my brother real quick, because this is the one that one was important, because you know ladies always saying like, who hurt you? When black men actually speak up, who hurt you? And yo, lady, sisterhood, you did. All right, but this is why it burns. This right here is why it burns. Check this out.
When you was in your peak, you ran loose. You had multiple dudes. You had a dude to take you out to eat, a dude that was good at sex, a dude you could call when you wanted company. She laughing because she know it's true.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
All right. So when a man reaches his peak, y'all like to go, oh, he's still immature. No, he's now at his peak. Mm. Y'all peaked at two different times. But the difference is what you like from him, status, money, resources, and power, he can have forever. But you can't be young forever.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns! Oh.
And that's the reality that a lot of ladies are coming into now. All right? And it's one of those things that it's bad, because when it was is, you know, when women felt like, a lot of sisters felt like they had options, they shitted on brothers. You know, what can a man do? A man can't do anything for me. I forget a damn name, but you know, this one right here, right?
Women are excelling. They're getting accelerated degrees, graduate degrees, doctorate degrees. They're starting businesses. Black women are running circles around men.
You heard all that. Now, we haven't heard that conversation. We haven't heard that talk in the better part of a year. Especially since the government slashed down all the fat. See, here's the thing where you start talking about college degrees. Well, now your college degree actually has to be in a field that's relevant. It can't just be a college degree in criminology, sociology, things of that nature. They use artificial intelligence to solve crimes now. They got drones out there replacing police officers. They got drones out there replacing the military. You are not going to be out there, you know, changing, you know, you're not, those skills are not needed. We don't need anybody with a basket weaving degree or an art degree. You know what I'm saying? Those things are not necessary when you have artificial intelligence replacing those things. They're actually building machines right now. They have actually creating warehouses right now where the only people in the building are going to be the ones monitoring the equipment. They're not going to be working on assembly lines. They're not going to be, you know, all these dollar factories and things of that nature that they had all over the world. They're cutting all those out. It's about to be a global situation in regards to so-called progress and things of that nature. And the thing is, it was announced. And this is what I mean when I say the ladies don't have foresight. You sit there like, nah, 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 nah. Who do you know, teasing people, not knowing that in 5 months, 6 months from that particular moment, you would be out there stranded. And you not think that the men don't remember how you treated them? Hold on. Where is it at? Where is it at? Hold on. Because we're not stupid. And see, we know the conversations that take place. We know, like, when we hear the disrespect. And we also know who allowed the disrespect to go on unfettered, right? It wasn't just the ones out there speaking. It was the ones out there pretending not to hear it, right? Like this.
So passionate about this topic of women seeing men as human and not just the butt of some joke on social media is because I used to be like y'all. I used to laugh at all the jokes and repost the videos. I followed Drew and ha ha, men suck. Yeah. And then I was in a relationship with a man who for all intents and purposes was very good to me. And I didn't respect him. And I ended up cheating on him. And I felt terrible for that. And I didn't want to hide behind my emotions or how he made me feel or whatever. I had to put that on myself. I had to take accountability for that. I had to go to therapy for that. I had to realize that I was wrong, and the way that I saw myself in relationships and the way I saw men was not right. So I started talking and really listening to the men in my life, asking them questions, trying to see how they see things, understanding their perspective, watching male content creators, trying to hear them out. And what they said made a lot of sense. And I realized that these women were not being respectful towards men in the same way that they wanted respect from men. And I didn't like that.
So, and she's not the only one. She's not the only one. I mean, listen to this. Listen to this. All right. You want to talk about delusional? Listen to this.
The misogynists are going to eat me up for saying this, but I feel like one of the most empowering things a woman can do is be a single mother.
Did LBJ's Great Society kill the black family?
That was one of the things, yes. Cloward and Piven, they came out with this policy tract that says that one of the ways that we can demonstrate the moral inconsistency of capitalism is to flood it with welfare recipients and make it bankrupt. The federal government followed suit by opening up poverty offices to recruit people to the system. And Cloud and Piven said if you can detach work from income, it will make fathers redundant.
Raise your hand if you would like to be married to your baby's father. One.
Cloud and Piven said if you can detach work from income, it will make fathers redundant.
Why don't you plan to get married? I'd like to know that.
You already have your child to think about, and then a whole family to care for. You know, it's a lot of responsibility. And then you don't want the commitments.
I wouldn't want no man holding me down because I think I can make it as a single parent.
Cloud and Piven said if you can detach work from income, it will make fathers redundant.
But don't you think you might need help in raising that baby from a man?
Not really. I didn't have a father. My father wasn't in the home. So, you know, it really, male figures are not substantially important in the family.
Cloud and Piven said if you can detach work from income, it will make fathers redundant.
Timothy said his children are not his responsibility. He has left them to be supported by their mothers and welfare.
Cloud and Piven said if you can detach work from income, it will make fathers redundant.
The black family did not start falling apart until the 1960s, as more blacks were lured into the welfare culture.
80% of the people who left slavery were raising two-parent households, and this continued up until 1962.
When you think about it, centuries of slavery, generations of Jim Crow did not destroy the black family, but one generation of the welfare state did.
And, you know, that clip that y'all listened to, several of the clips, it was based on a documentary that was made in 1986. It was published in 1986. And it was called The Crew of 1986. That's how you can find it on YouTube. And it was about a bunch of young teenage parents in Newark, New Jersey. And I've referenced that several times before on this particular show. So if you just want to go back in some of my archives, you can find it. It's there. And one of the things that I think is really important to understand in regards to these things that we're talking about now is that mindset was going on. Yeah, one of the young ladies that was talking, she was actually sitting there with a baby in her lap. All right, there's a classroom full of young ladies, teenage mothers or teenage mothers to be. And the interesting part about that is how irrelevant they thought that men were. And when you talk to some of them about and keep in mind, 1986, right? One of them was a third generation teenage mom. Like one third generation teenage baby mom. Then you also had another situation where, hold on, you had another situation, right? Now, I want to show y'all why that's relevant now, okay? Because
A lot of times people think that, we can't hold people accountable for generations, like the trends change, people change. Okay. All right. One of the young ladies, she said the reason why she slept with this young guy is because he was sexy. He was bow-legged. And she loved the way he walked. All right. Now, I want y'all to peep this particular story. And shout out to JR Wisdom for pulling this clip.
Never go out with your coworkers, because last August I went out with my coworker Jennifer and we decided we were going to go to the MGM. So we go to the MGM, we're playing the slots, we're drinking, and we decide to go into Felt since it's Friday and we'll have nothing else to do the next day. So as we're on the balcony, we're drinking, we're reviving, some guy comes up to me. So me and him are talking, he's talking to my homegirl Jennifer, and we all decide, hey, let's get some drinks. So Jennifer decides to go to the bar and get drinks. So me and Aaron are talking some more. So I'm pretty much flirting with him because I am so smashed at this point, he looking real good to me. So I give him my number. So we all keep talking, keep vibing, and Jennifer brings up how she needs her patio painted, and he was like, oh, like I know somebody that can paint your patio. So he gives her his number. So as we're all talking everything like that, I'm realizing that I might shut my eyes at this point because the drinks are really knocking me down. So I'm like, hey, like I'm about to dip out, I'm gonna go up to the ride share. So as I'm walking up to the ride share, he was like, hey, I'm gonna walk with you. So me and him are walking, and I just start being all over him because at this point I love broke nigga dick after I have had a whole bunch of drinks. So I'm like, hey, you come with me. So we go back to my house, wham bam, it's amazing. But he broke, so you know, you can't do much with him, you just gotta, you know, call it what it is. So then after that, I meet up with Jennifer again on Monday, and we're talking, and she was just like, oh, like where'd you and that guy go off to? And I was like, girl, he ain't got no job, but it was like the best I've had in years, so I really needed it. He itched a scratch that I needed itch. And she was like, oh really? I was like, yeah girl, you might as well like talk to him, I don't know. So I'm just joking at this point because I like to like hog my broke dick, like I don't like to share it. So after that, she texts me and was like, hey, guess what? And I'm like, what? And she sends me a picture of him in her bed. So I'm getting irritated, but I'm just like, you know what? Go ahead. Because you know Pisces, they love to be like, you know, if she can have it, I can have it. So like, she's a Pisces. So I was just like, oh, go ahead, girl. So I pretty much cut him off after that because I don't want to share something with my coworker. Like, that's kind of weird. So after that, months have passed. And then a few days ago, I pretty much needed a whole bunch of days off. So I go up to Jen and I'm like, hey, is there a way that you can work my days? And she was like, yeah, girl, I'll work them for you. Like, how many days do you need? I was like, actually, I need 2 weeks. Can you work 2 weeks for me? She was like, yes. I was like, you do realize you're going to have to cover from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. She was like, girl, I don't care. So as she's doing my coverage, I'm kind of checking in on her, making sure that she's going to keep showing up to do 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for 2 weeks. But she's all good. So when I return back to work today, she's like, yeah, girl, thank you so much. Like all that extra money that's about to be on my check is like really, really killing it. And I was just like, really? She was like, yeah. I was like, why are you working so much? You going like on a vacation? She was just like, no, I got to support my man, girl. And I'm like, what man? And she's like, Aaron, I thought like you knew me and I'm still together. And I'm thinking to myself, in this economy, you're supporting a man that don't have no job? And she was like, girl, it's just so good. He makes me work harder.
So and here's the thing, right? Talk about the 80-20 thing, and J.R. Wisdom gets into that, and shout out to J.R. Wisdom for that. But this is why men are not out here talking about, you know, you hear women talking about he needs to make six figures and he needs to do this, that, and that. Brothers, this is why I tell you, if she likes you, it don't fucking matter. One liked him just to smash, and she wanted to hold on to him just for the sex. Women think with their vaginas. I don't care what they tell y'all about the qualities they find in men, especially our women, think with their vaginas. And in addition to that, you know, one loved it so much that she decided to keep him in house. He wasn't going nowhere. She working extra hours and everything. And what have I told y'all before? I told y'all, man, when he could, you know, I used to have a clip, make me feel good. When he could make her feel good in that way, you know what I'm saying? That's all she wants. But then she'll complain later on about the fact that she tried to make it work with a black man. No, you tried to make it work with a bum that dicked you down. You didn't try to make it work with a man that had ambition. You didn't talk to him about his vision, his dreams, his plans. You didn't talk about it. And I don't want to hear the lies of people saying, I did talk about it. No, we ain't talking about the dude you was talking to that was about to come up off his mixtape. We ain't talking about that dude.
We're talking about somebody that has sound plan, sound foundation, somebody that may not have been where they were, but they were working towards where they were going. All right, somebody, you always say you want somebody with ambition. But then it's so to the point where, you know, then you start hearing this here, right? You start hearing this.
I said, as long as you got your own house, as long as you got your own transportation, and as long as you got your own income, it don't matter what a ninja got to say.
And that's why the nuclear winter is turning into the ice age. All right? That's why the nuclear winter is turning into the ice age. Because, you know, these aren't the only situations that are creating hostile situations for brothers, right? You have situations like this, right? You have situations like this that are also creating toxic situations for brothers.
Please help me!
Hey, who shot it?
Did he come into the house?
And I apologize, y'all. I meant to warn y'all. This is graphic. So just letting y'all know, even for your ears, you can't see it, but this is a graphic moment, okay?
Kick my back room door in!
Okay.
Oh.
He kicked your back room door.
Yes!
Okay, how many times did he shoot?
Twice!
Two times?
He took my gun out my purse and shot him! Okay.
So now you see all these women out here talking about having guns and everybody out here talking about guns. This man broke in her house. This is her ex-boyfriend, her baby daddy, ex-boyfriend, broke into the house, right? I don't even know. He might have been her current boyfriend. Broke into the house, took her gun out of her purse, and then deleted the man she was in bed with. All right. This is what happens. This is what happens every single time. Not every single time, but these are the possibilities. These are the positions you put the men in. All right. So here's another one, right? You know, here's another one. And check this out. And brothers, and this is another reason why a lot of brothers are even walking away from their families. All right.
If a man's, if he feels disrespected, you can get them hands.
You missed my whole point. No, you missed my whole point.
Oh, and that's when I'm going to go get my brother.
That's when I'm going to go get my brother. So you're going to risk your brother's life. They think your life is expendable. They think that you should put your life on the line for their pride and their ego. They don't care about their loved ones. The last thing you would want to do is put your loved ones in harm's way. I would never want to put Justin in harm's way. I don't want to see him out here fighting. What the hell are we talking about here? You don't love your brother because you think his life is expendable. As if he can't get rocked or killed, they don't think about these things. All they think about is themselves. All you're doing is think about yourselves and your ego. Some man disrespects me, so I'm going to get my brother because he slapped me. And if I were her brother, I would block that... I would block her so fast, you ain't calling me. You ain't about to put my life at risk. Hell, not even just, you know, your physical life. You do something and guess what? You're in prison because you done put somebody under over your bum ass sister.
Those are the other situations that pop up all the time that, you know, men are finding themselves in. And in addition to that, right? Because it goes, this is just to reinforce a point that was made earlier, right? And it ain't even just the brothers having these conversations anymore, right? This is expanded, you know. The one thing the woman said is black women are the canary in the coal mine because of the they make up 70% of the American population. If they're not doing well, then how could the life, if it was compared to a human body, you know, you would need more than 7%, which is not true, by the way. But nobody cared about the 6%. That was black men. When black men were homeless and black men were unemployed, black men were the highest rated, like levels of unemployment were highest amongst black men. Nobody gave a damn. There were no special programs put out there. Black men were told that they were lazy, we were bums, and this, that, and the other. Right? That's what we were told. So, but check this out.
My 20s were crazy. I was always out, always living. But I'm done aged. I want something stable. Someone like you.
You didn't change. You just got tired.
Excuse me? I grew up. I chose to be better.
You didn't choose better. You ran out of options and chose safe.
That's unfair. My past doesn't define me. I bring a lot to the table.
You gave your best years away for free. Now you want someone else to pay full price.
Wow. That's so insecure.
It's not insecurity. It's accounting.
You're judging me for having a life.
Bad investments leave debt. I don't inherit it.
Plenty of men would be happy to settle down with me.
Then go find them. I build futures. I build empires. I don't manage discount centers. You don't get to party with the jokers and expect a king to pay the tab. I'm not a retirement plan.
So we keep seeing it. The tide has changed. The tide has turned. And here's one of the things that, you know, and I'm going to speed this one up because it's a little lengthy. So we want to make sure that, you know, we get to hear it a little bit more. All right. So I want y'all to check this out, you know, because this is what women have finally figured out.
Why men have given up on women. Let's face it, the red pill community was not built overnight. As both a woman and a psychotherapist, my journey has been humbling to say the least. The number one reason that men have given up on women and on love is solely because the gap between men and women is getting larger and larger. With women, there's the movement of, I don't need no man. And then with men, you have that movement of, women are a liability.
It's just not worth it anymore. We don't need drama in our life anymore.
I don't think men like women anymore. I don't think that men desire us women anymore. Us real women, I don't think that they value us like they used to. Men aren't really putting out effort. They're not putting out any type of effort like they used to.
But you can't be a modern woman. You can't be a modern woman complaining about what men used to do. Because what you're referring to are what traditional men did for traditional women. You're not a traditional woman. So why would that man put out what he used to do when a traditional woman would reciprocate with affection, with love, with caring, with inspiration, you know, with respect? Y'all don't respect the brothers no more. And so why would a man do all those things just to be labeled as lunch or free lunch or dinner date inside of your phone? It's come on now. Let's make it make sense.
Taking a girl on a date becomes an issue. You know, spending money on a woman is an issue. You should have your own money as a woman. Going out to do something fun is an issue. Why don't you just come over to the house and we could do something?
Wait a minute. I just could have swore I heard.
Black women are excelling. They're getting accelerated degrees, graduate degrees, doctorate degrees. They're starting businesses. Black women are running circles around men.
I said, as long as you got your own house, as long as you got your own transportation, and as long as you got your own income, it don't matter what a ninja got to say.
So if that's the case, why are you still asking for men to do this whole traditional courting process when, typically speaking, he's just going to waste his money? And we're not living in those times anymore. Nowadays, taking a chick out for dinner, that might be somebody's whole goddamn paycheck. It's not happening. No, ma'am.
Something in the house. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm from New York. But I see women all over the globe complain about what's happening with men nowadays. Is it women that's not making themselves desirable anymore? Because there are beautiful women out here, beautiful women, ambitious women, caring women, nurturing women who are outside looking for love, and men that just can't keep up with that. Like, they're not communicating with them. They're not willing to hang out and do fun things. What happens to the fun in life?
Wait a minute. These are the same women that said that they won't do coffee dates. They won't do walks in the park. They won't do those things. You know, the things that people do to get to know each other. These are the same women saying that. Now she's saying this. What the show? This is hidden all over the place. And not to mention, you know, we have messages, messages. And we're reminded often, right? Y'all just heard this. You want to hear it again?
So passionate about this topic of women seeing men as human and not just the butt of some joke on social media is because I used to be like y'all. I used to laugh at all the jokes and repost the videos. I followed Drew and ha, men suck. Yeah. And then I was in a relationship with a man who, for all intents and purposes, was very good to me. And I didn't respect him. And I ended up cheating on him. And I felt terrible for that. And I didn't want to hide behind my emotions or how he made me feel or whatever. I had to put that on myself. I had to take accountability for that. I had to go to therapy for that. I had to realize that I was wrong. And the way that I saw myself in relationships and the way I saw men was not right. So I started talking and really listening to the men in my life, asking them questions, trying to see how they see things, understanding their perspective, watching male content creators, trying to hear them out. And what they said made a lot of sense. And I realized that these women were not being respectful towards men in the same way that they wanted respect from men.
Let us continue.
What happened to life being exciting and fun and, you know, going out and discovering the world?
Today's women's attitude and character are undesirable.
Women are scared of happily single men. You want to know why? Let's get into it. Being happily single as a man makes you more appealing. Men that don't need to be in a relationship. Men that have high standards. Men that don't chase women. They chase in purpose. This makes women think, wonder if that man is actually interested in them. And will in turn, y'all listen to this, increase the value of that man and his expressed interest in their minds.
True. Women expect men to chase validation through them. But a man at peace, alone, flips the script. His independence shows confidence and self-respect, raising his value instantly. Now, women have to work harder for his attention, questioning their own worth instead of assuming it's guaranteed.
It's the rude awakening that men have needed for thousands of years.
I have four big things to say about this, but first of all, I'm not quite sure where this belief came from that if more women divorce their husbands, that these men are just going to believe that it was all their fault and they're going to grow and get better. No, there's never just fault on one side, and men know that. Second of all, most men that go through divorce end up losing a lot in the form of lost time with their children and financially through spousal support and child support. So many men just feel victimized by the court system. Thirdly, a lot of these men that get put through the ringer, they eventually build themselves back and they realize that they're a lot happier being single. It's actually a lot more peaceful for them. And fourthly and lastly, a lot of men never want to get married again or in the first place because they hear women like this talking about divorce as if it's some sort of punishment for her not being happy, as if his needs and the family's needs have nothing to do with it. And men are smarter than that.
And that's another thing too, right? Because like I said before, I know plenty of men that had to hit rock bottom due to the circumstances of a marriage that didn't work out. And those men, every single one of them, have built themselves up to be better than prior to their divorce, prior to the men they were in that marriage. These men have actually become, you know, more so focused on their purpose. These men have started to become better in terms of their health. These men have become like more driven. It's like the sandbags have been torn off of them. They've broken free from the shackles. And a lot of these brothers are moving forward. And while this is not a great thing for society, because society takes a hit when marriage is down. That's why you see a lot of laws and policies put in place now that are trying to bring men back to the table. Shout out to BGS Itmore, you know, for talking about a lot of those different things and bringing it to light, and breaking it down to plain English so that people can understand what's going on. But you got a lot of laws and policies now, DNA testing, all those other things that, now they're saying that, they're no longer they're limiting alimony in certain states. You know, they got a lot of things that are now making it where if the marriage doesn't work out, the men don't pay such a steep price for it. So, you know, addressing paternity fraud, all that shit. So, yeah, you know, a lot going on.
Men aren't just imagining victimization in the courts. They're living it. The system strips them of money, time and dignity, leaving them as nothing more than walking ATMs. The harsh reality sinks in fast. The juice isn't worth the squeeze. She was never truly yours. Just your turn until she cashed out.
If you look at the stats on who's happiest, the happiest people are single women and married men. They're the two happiest groups of people always.
Single women
and married men
are the happiest.
I've been the happiest groups of people. Like, not married women. Married women, like, end up doing all the jobs and, you know, married women aren't happier than single women. Single women are happier than married women. And married men are really happy because they get everything done for them, basically.
There's no study backing her claims, but we do know the most medicated group is single women past a certain age. That says it all. And here's the kicker. When a wife is miserable, she drags the whole marriage down with her. An unhappy wife means an unhappy husband, because she'll never let him have peace.
Would you rather be married and miserable or single and lonely?
Single and lonely, as long as I have my money. If you ain't not my thought process, I cannot have you around me because you're going to fuck up my life.
Can you be lonely and not miserable?
You can be lonely and have a blast. 9 times out of 10, when somebody tells you they're lonely, are they happy?
No.
Are they happy?
No. I disagree.
Are they happy?
I've been lonely and happy. You can be lonely and happy. You cannot be miserable and happy. It doesn't make sense.
When I'm feeling lonely, it's easier for me to be feel loved if I go around people I love. When I'm miserable, I could be around y'all and I'm still miserable. Keep in mind, podcast. Shit,
you better keep it in mind. Choosing loneliness over misery is the smarter choice because misery infects every part of life.
And let's be clear about this whole loneliness thing. A lot of married men are very lonely at this particular time and age. A lot of that's one of the things that's not discussed. And so this whole concept and happiness is an internal struggle. It's not something you can find outside of yourself. And sooner the people understand that happiness and peace are an internal walk and journey, the sooner we can get back to some common sense in society.
Even when you're surrounded by people. Loneliness, on the other hand, can be managed with hobbies, purpose, and personal growth. You can build peace and fulfillment alone, but you can't fix a toxic marriage draining your soul. Freedom, even with solitude, offers hope and possibility. Chains of constant misery offer nothing but slow decay. Better to be free and lonely than trapped and broken.
Here is why intelligent men stay single. At work, being logical is rewarded, but that doesn't work with dating. Women want to feel emotions. This means flirting, telling stories, and making her laugh. Only when you stir her emotions can her attraction for you grow.
Notice how it's always about what she wants, never about him. Her needs, her emotions, her fulfillment. Men's needs get ignored, dismissed, or treated as irrelevant. Women chasing feelings aren't in relationships for the man. They're in it for themselves. Remember, she wants emotions, not yours, just hers.
Do you think men are happier when they are single or in a relationship? This question comes up because I got into a bit of an argument on Facebook this week because someone had posted a very long and detailed post alluding to just that fact, that men, when they are free to pursue their own goals, see who they want, hang out with friends, and do all the things that they want to do, are actually happier than when they're in a relationship. And I agreed, because the reality is that men typically give up their goals and hopes in lieu of whatever she wants them to do. Of course, this led to a lot of arguments and a lot of hate from the women at me, which I am very much used to, which is fine. What I want to know is...
Men may deal with a messier house when single, but the peace is worth it. Better a little disorder than being drained, disrespected, or used. Modern relationships often bring more stress than support, making single life far more rewarding and less aggravating than a toxic partnership.
When you get enough lonely single men in their young ages of like 20 to 30, right, with no family, no kids, nothing to die for, to stand for, you're going to have public tragedies keep happening. Soon they'll start targeting higher ups in government because, you know, once the greed sets in from those at the top and they take more and more and more and you're left with nothing, then you'll really see the, quote, revolt everybody talks about.
He's spot on. An entire generation of young men stripped of purpose, family, and hope is a powder keg. Society keeps bleeding them dry while elites hoard wealth, then acts shocked at the rage. Ignore them long enough and despair won't stay quiet. It'll erupt into chaos.
I can't see one single positive
argument or staying single today. We're having a cigar the other day with this guy when we did the live podcast. He's 35 years old, makes millions, but he doesn't want to get married. So it's too risky getting married today. It's too risky staying single today. Like, what do you think life is all about? Pulling up to a restaurant in a Rolls Royce for what? Who cares? Those people that say what a nice car don't give a shit about you. Everything about life is investing in things that outlive you. Men want to live forever, yeah. But we're not going to. The only way you're going to get a glimpse of living forever is by what you build. You have kids, you raise them properly, they continue your last name, you write a book, you make music, you make movies, you make something that outlives you.
True. All of this is true. Well said.
Well said, soldier.
Women helped create this shift by making relationships high risk. Divorce laws, social media validation, and attacks on masculinity pushed men away. After seeing others lose kids, money, and peace, men chose differently.
And I want to address that, too, because a lot of times people in successful marriages, and especially that were born prior to the pandemic, prior to the Me Too movement and all these other things that have sort of cast a bad light on men, a lot of those people don't speak to the current reality that men who are single, who are dating, who are, you know, maybe looking for love out here, they're not speaking to the same struggles they may have dealt with. The whole concept of the notion of courting and the notion of expectations have changed drastically over the last 10 years. And if you look at what's happening now, the level of delusion is out of this world. This is why let us move on.
Now they build legacy through work, wealth, and freedom, not marriage. Society can't blame them for adapting. Single men are going their own way.
Four reasons why being a single man in your 30s is awesome. Number one, you're actually attractive to women, okay? A lot of guys spend time in their 20s not feeling attracted to women at all, but if you work on yourself in your 30s, you're gonna be a lot more attractive to them. Number two, you're less desperate for sex. The good thing about being in your 30s is you're not a complete horn dog all the time. It actually helps. Three, you have money to finally do what you want and you're not sweating over the check when the bill comes. Four, you have less pressure to settle down and have kids. This is one of the benefits of being a guy as opposed to women who experience a lot of pressure during this time.
Your 30s often beat your 20s. You've learned key lessons, know yourself better, and move with more confidence. Financial stress depends on choices, not age. And marriage or kids? That pressure isn't exclusive to women. Men feel it too. The difference is, by your 30s, you're wiser about whose expectations truly matter, society's or your own.
You want to know why men over 40 are staying single? I'll tell you why. Because society raised women to be wives to careers, not husbands. And now the men who were once overlooked are watching rebellion unfold and choosing peace over chaos. These ain't excuses. These are the raw, unfiltered reasons men are walking away from modern women, and many of them don't plan on looking back. You better watch this all the way through or keep wondering why that good man ain't calling you back. Let's set the record straight. This ain't about men being bitter. This ain't about men being weak. This is about men getting wise, men getting structure, and men finally realizing what marriage has turned into and what it costs when you choose a woman who ain't built for submission, peace, or purpose. And if you're one of those women thinking, well, maybe he just can't handle a strong woman, sit tight. You're about to find out he didn't lose interest. He gained clarity. First reason, divorce destroys a man's life. Older men have seen it too many times, good men getting gutted in court. He loses his house, he loses his pension, his legacy, and she walks away with half his world for bringing nothing but attitude to the table. Why would any man jump into a legal system designed to reward rebellion and punish masculinity?
He said nothing wrong, even on the behalf of our flaws as men, too. Very well said, my brother. Thanks for watching Manhood. If you want access to exclusive episodes and...
All right, and that's enough of that. We appreciate that, but that's... And this is why the nuclear winter is an ice age, because now there is a repulsion where there used to be magnetic attraction. And nowadays, you know, a lot of men can't even they don't even feel comfortable approaching a woman in public for the simple fact that most women, when you approach them in public, if you don't meet them under a certain criteria, you're automatically identified as a creep. You're automatically identified as a stalker. You're automatically identified as somebody who is thirsty, this, that, and the other. A lot of brothers and brothers, shout out to y'all for having some self-respect. No longer groveling, no longer pandering, you know. And as the man said in one of the clips, once you enter your 30s, you're no longer the horn dog, because
your testosterone levels drop dramatically between the ages of 28 and 33, 35. It just dropped. You know, and then most men late settle down and focus on purpose and priorities, and that's what makes you more valuable. You know, so unfortunately for the ladies, you know, in terms of employment, you don't have that to fall back on. Uncle Sam, they've drawn back on all those benefits that you used to get, whether it's employment, whether it was welfare state, this, that, and the other, and now you have to turn back. And a lot of ladies don't want to be accountable for the terrible ways they've treated the brothers over the years. Thus, so I want to thank you all for tuning in. Stay safe, and as I always say, brothers, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And I am out of here.